turn in your Bibles to the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. As you can see, there are quite a few passages I'll be reading, and that is to keep us from having to read through six chapters, which would take a considerable amount of time. But I believe these verses that we'll be reading this morning will be very helpful in framing the theme of my sermon this morning. When helping hurts. You may have heard that phrase. I'm sure it's been used before, but the Chalmers Institute, which does provides a tremendous ministry and service to particularly those who are economically depressed. There was a book written by, I believe it was the founder of their organization, and that's the title, When Helping Hurts. So I'm going to borrow that this morning. I believe it's appropriate for the message that the Lord has given to me for the Lord's people. So Genesis chapter number 15, I'll read the first six verses. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son will be your heir. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Chapter 16, the first four verses. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. Sarah said to Abram, Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Chapter 17, also the first four verses. When Abraham was 99, Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. Verse 15 of the same chapter. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Abram said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. And then in chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When helping hurts. Well, of course, we're in the book of the beginnings, Genesis. As in chapter 11, we're introduced to a man from the Mesopotamian region whose name is Abram. He lived in a place called the Ur of the Chaldeans. The predominant thought is that the Ur of the Chaldeans is actually modern Iraq. His name is Abram, and he lives with his immediate family, his uncle, and other relatives who lived in the community. Terah, Abram's father, Terah's grandson, Lot, and Sarai, Abram's wife, went together from Ur of the Chaldees toward the land of Canaan. And when they came to Haran, they settled there, Genesis 11:31. Abram doesn't appear to be a man of renown, doesn't appear to be a major player, a man of great importance in the land of Canaan, or better yet, Haran, where they actually settled. But God knows him. And also his wife, Sarai. God knows them. Do you recognize that we are serving and worshiping a God who is personal? That just as you are sitting here, that God knows you're here this morning. Just as you left your home, God knows your address. God knows where you work if you're still in your active years of work. God knows everything we do, everything we think. God knows our plans. There are no secrets when it comes to you or me and God. God knows everything. God knows you too. You're not alone in your thoughts, your plans, your desires, your wishes, your hopes. In the mind and will of God, Yahweh determines he wants to use Abram for a high purpose. But Abram doesn't know that Yahweh, God, has lofty plans for him. God does not normally divulge all of his plans for your life or mine at any one particular point. That's why we, as the Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith because God is leading us. Don't live where you live by happenstance. God knew. And we would all like to think that God has directed us to be where we are, to live where we live. In the mind and will of God, Yahweh had determined he was going to use Abram for a high purpose. But God doesn't know that Yahweh has these lofty plans designed for him. May I encourage you this morning to say that your life obviously is not over. Which tells me and should tell you that God is not finished with you yet. As a matter of fact, God may just be beginning to show you how he wants to use you in the future. No matter what your age is, there's no age limits on God using a person. For all we know, Abram lived a rather routine life, just like you and me. His life was nothing out of the ordinary that we can tell. There's a certain amount of joy and freedom in the early years of one's marriage, if you are married. When a young couple can spend significant time together and learn more about one another. I cried as I wrote this. Because I'm reminded, of course, of the great treasure of my life who was taken from me and from you 11 months ago. Abram and Sarah. But there are at least two other people who are close to Abram, his father, Terah, and his nephew, Lot. The son of Abram's youngest brother, Haran. Abram perhaps had thought and dreamed about a bigger tent for Sarah. Perhaps he had hopes for a bigger and better fishing net. Maybe he thought of buying or making something nice and girly for Sarah. But that was most likely the extent of Abram's vision for his life, just like you and me. Unbeknownst to Abram, God wants more for Abraham than Abram wants for himself. Why do we settle? Why do we settle for what we have? Why do we settle for the life we live? If that's all God wants for us, then blessed be the name of the Lord. But shouldn't our prayer be, Lord, use me as mightily as you can? I don't want to settle for less than what you want my life to be. God is going to have grandiose plans for Abram's life. I feel that some of us are stuttering in our words, but also stuttering in our steps. That God is trying to push you out into the deep. We're satisfied with catching nothing like the disciples time and time again. The Lord is saying, I have something greater for you. It's not for your glory or my glory. It's for his glory. Don't we want to be used for the purpose that God made us? I like to take an amen here. Don't we want to be all that God wants us to be? Don't we want to be a blessing to those who are around us? We get into routines. I get it because I have my routines as well. And settle into a life mostly of our choosing. We get a job and we choose to take that job over another opportunity. If we don't like it, we get another job. We have homes and we live in suburbs or we live in streets and some have cul-de-sacs and others don't. If we grow tired of that, we buy another home and move somewhere else. In some cases, we move to another city. Another state or another region in the country. And sometimes people even move out of the country. To an extent, Abram, who moved his family to Haran. The lives we live are the sum of the choices that we have made to a great extent. My question to you is, do we think too small? Do we think too small? Do we settle for much less than what is possible for you and me? And if we are guilty of thinking small, is it because we believe in a small God? Do we think small because we think we serve a small God and worship a small, limited God? In order for God to fulfill his will and destiny for Abram and the nation that will eventually come from his loins, Abram must be open to change. Oh, I said the dreaded word. Shoot me down. Are we open to what God might have for us? Or are we creatures strictly of habit? And we've already made up our minds, I don't want to do it. God will personally make himself known to Abraham and give him news that he is not expecting. My first question, second question I should say, is, are you listening? Are you tuned into the right channel? If you're not reading the word, you're not tuned into the right channel. If your prayer life is delinquent, you're not tuned into the right channel. You're getting static instead of clear communication from God. God is going to shake up Abraham's life by telling him, you've got to move. Most of us, unless you've recently moved, you don't like hearing that word or thinking of that. Packing up everything, going through all the changes. Getting settled into a new place, finding new friends, finding a new church. See if you get along with the people on your job you've been transferred to. Abram's not expecting this news. He just moved. He just left the Ur of the Chaldees and was traveling to the land of Canaan and then settled in Haran. Only his father and his uncle and his wife went with him, I noticed. The Lord speaks to him in Genesis 12 and says, Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. Just when they had gotten settled in Haran, the Lord tells him, you've got to move. Oh my goodness. The tent's all nice and set up. They found a nice parcel of ground where they want to call a homestead. And I imagine Sarah probably has most of the duties in the house since they lived a very traditional lifestyle. Got everything put away neatly and thought that they would just settle in now and kind of get in their new routine in Haran. But the Lord says, I want you to move. Are you open to the Lord's commands? Do we take God's word as suggestions or as commands? The Lord says, I want you to move. God's ultimate blessings are not in Haran. How I want to use you means you have to move from where you are to where I'm going to send you. It takes trust. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Are you willing to leave the things behind? Even his father, who followed him to Haran, Abram could have protested, said, my father's getting up in age. He really needs me to look after him. Go. I'll take care of your father. Abram was a devoted son. Loved his father. His father obviously loved Abram because he had two other sons back in the Ur of Chaldees. But he followed Abram. I'll ask you again, do you take God's commands as suggestions? Or are we obedient to God's commands without questioning God as to why now, why me, or why not my neighbor? God says, no, you. If you want to accomplish big things in life, it requires big faith and equally large obedience. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, in other words, and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. KJV says, who diligently seeks him. In the meantime, Abram's nephew Lot says, hey, Unc, I hear you're moving. You and Aunt Sarah. Abraham, far as I know, may have been a little snarly about that. It may have been still a touchy subject. He says, you know, I'm pretty bored here. And I was wondering, what are the chances I can go with you? Before Abraham could have asked the question of Yahweh, if you're going to move, like, where am I moving to? Might be a good question. Before Abraham could even ask that question, God says, I'm going to send you to a land where I'll show you. I'm sending you in the right direction. But where I'm sending you, I will show you. You know, sometimes showing is better than telling. Are you willing to trust God like that? Do you have to have all the information from God before you will say yes? Or are you willing to trust God? The ultimate trust. If God is in charge of my life, do I have a choice but to say yes, Lord? Looking at some people in this congregation who are about 6,000 miles away from their home. They said, yes, Lord. Well, chapter 12 will give us six things that you should remember about God's covenant promises to Abraham. And it just blows my mind every time I read it. Because if it was me that God was having this conversation, I don't know if I could handle it. Now, the Lord said to Abram, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 in Genesis, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I'll show you, and I'll make of you a great nation. That's number one, greatness. What will that look like? The second thing he said in the second clause of verse 2, same chapter, and I will bless you. What will that look like? Just knowing all that God's capable of doing, it's hard to imagine what that means. Also, the second clause of the second verse, and I will make your name great. Abram's head is spinning about now. But God's not finished. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. So there's blessings coming from another direction, from God, but through other people. And also in the third verse, the second clause, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. I've got your back, Abram. And finally, the third clause of verse 3, he says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is more than a human being can comprehend. what limitations have we placed on God? Have you decided that you would just bury those dreams and those goals that you've set for yourself? You've just decided it's too big. It's not possible. I can't see myself doing that. But with God on your side, all things are possible. It's not God that you're doubting. It's your own self. Our own selves we're doubting, or we're fearful. We're afraid to step out. We're afraid to say yes. This is a fourfold blessing. Blessing of proliferation, provision, prosperity, and protection. First, prosperity. I'll make you a great nation and I will bless you. Abram's name and the families and the nations that will come from his loins, he will be prolific. I will make your name great. Then there's protection. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever dishonors you, I will curse. Protection. And finally, provision. In all the families of the earth, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, what can you take from these things additionally? That wherever God is leading you, wherever the Holy Spirit is leading you, God will provide for you. Wherever the Holy Spirit is leading you, he will also provide for you. No need to fear. How would you respond if tonight the Lord speaks a covenant promise like this to you? Would you be too afraid to accept it and say, yes, Lord? Say, Lord, I'm not prepared for all of this. Let me give this some thought. Turn him down, in other words. Are we prepared? It's an honest question. Are we prepared for the blessings of God? We pray for blessings, but are we prepared to receive them? One of the biggest things I think of about God's blessings doesn't necessarily have to be materialistic blessings. But will we still be faithful to God once God blesses us? Let me move to a close. The whole idea of election, the doctrine of election, is pretty clear when we read this story of Abram's life's journey. The will of God is not one big roulette wheel that God is spinning and by chance it falls on your name or my name. It's pretty clear here that God intentionally chose you and me to be children of God and to be gifted to provide service in the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful day in the Mediterranean region, in this fertile crescent where the fields are overflowing with beautiful crops and the landscape is green. Palm trees are blowing in the breeze. Let's imagine that Abram is sitting in his tent or sitting on the ground or a stone while reading the newspaper or scouring the internet. Of course, I'm being funny. Cleaning the fish he had just caught, snapping peas picked from his garden, or playing a game of cards with his family. And the next thing we know, Abram is hearing the voice of God saying he has been chosen and called by God to be used for God's eternal and sovereign purposes. What am I saying? I'm trying to prepare you as well as myself. It's amazing how fast life can change. I was the most miserable man on the face of the earth for a year and a half, making great money at a large corporation, as a young man. But for 1 year and a half, I went to work and I was the most troubled person, maybe in the building. I would use every opportunity, break time, lunchtime, read my Bible, pray. And it was very obvious to me that God was preparing me for something. Had no idea what it might be. One day, Memorial Day weekend, I get a telephone call out of the clear blue from someone I'd never spoken to before. I knew who he was, never spoken to him before. And the thing that had been on my heart and I was praying about for 1 year and a half, an opportunity to go to Bible school, that phone call was the answer to my prayer. I didn't seek it out. No one knew, except for maybe one or two friends, what my desires were. But that was the genesis of the opportunity to relocate, to be the lead pastor of the first church that I ever pastored. And the first thing I did when I got there was to enroll in Bible college. And I knew, once I started, that was just the vehicle God used to get me from where I was to where I needed to be to prepare for further ministry. A phone call, a few short minutes. It's kind of like one of these things between Abraham and Lot when they got to Canaan. They had all this beautiful land and then the choice of where to settle. Abram says, well, Lot, and Abram, they talk, okay, where do you want to be, uncle? He says, well, here's what we do. You choose where the land you want and what's left I'll take. Abraham knew that God was going to bless him wherever he landed. And that's kind of what happened to me. They gave me choices of two different cities to go to. Both in the South, one in the Deep South. I'd never been there before. Visited both places, and when I returned home, I knew which one God was sending me to. I just sensed it in my spirit, my heart. How quickly life changes. Get ready for positive change in your life if you want change. If you want God to use you, look for opportunities. Be open to opportunities that the Lord may present to you. I could have said no. I would have been very disobedient to the Holy Spirit. Did I want to leave where I was? In a way, yes. In another big way, no. I was my father's assistant. I was a church organist. I knew it would cause a void in their ministry for a while anyway. But I knew that's what God wanted. Are you ready for what God may have in store for you? Like Abram, we don't know it's coming or what the message from God is even going to be. But when it comes, how will you respond? If God has placed you someplace or placed you in circumstances that you're in, look for the opportunities that God has given you. Why has God placed you where you are? It is for a purpose. And if you don't know the purpose, you should pray and ask God to reveal to you the purpose of why I am here. What should I be doing with my life? I don't know if God's calling you to leave the lifestyle you're currently living or change the plans you have for your life, but this is not burdensome. This is an opportunity. Abraham, he was leaving a lot, but nothing compared to what he was going to gain. And I want to encourage you that sometimes leaving is tough. whether it's a career, whatever it might be, a home, you name it. But if God's directing you, you must obey. Abram, Sarah, they had life plans, just like you and me. But God also has a plan for your life and mine. The question is, are you willing to follow God? Is it God's plan or my plan? Who do you trust the most? Yourself or God? You've wanted to try some things. You think you've got some talent, but you're afraid to push yourself out there. If God's given you that talent, you need to use it. There's plenty of opportunities right here, by the way. And there's many opportunities in the entire world for God to use you for the purpose God has created you. I don't want to stand before God. And I thought about this even before I had decided to preach this sermon. I don't want to stand before God and the Lord take a big, deep breath and say, Adrian, that's not what I wanted you to do. Or that's not how I wanted you to end your life. Why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you do that? Or why didn't you do it this way or that way? Why are you so stubborn? Why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you listen? I don't want to be like Moses. Worked so hard all of his life. His life divided up into three periods of 40 years. At the end of his life, he goes up into the top of Mount Nebo. The Lord says, Moses, I want you to go up to the top of the mountain. By the way, that's where you're going to die. You're not going to enter the promised land. He had led the people of Israel for 40 years trying to get to the promised land. He says, you can go to the top of the mountain and look over and see it, but you won't enter. Now, is that how you want to end your life? If you need more faith, ask the Lord. Following God's plan may start with giving your heart to the Lord if you're not a Christian. My life is not my own. Has to be your prayer. Asking for the Lord's forgiveness of our sins and to save us from perishing hopelessly without Him. Or if you are a Christian, it means following God's plan for your life. And it may look like this. Am I being obedient to what God has already showed me what I should do with my life? Have I been resistant to the voice of the Lord? There's another character in the New Testament, Saul of Tarsus, who heard the voice of the Lord, and he, like Abram, they didn't resist the call of God. When Saul heard the Lord's voice, he wasn't even converted. He wasn't even a Christian. He became the lead apostle of all 12 of the Lord's apostles and the writer of the majority of the books of the New Testament. His life changed in a flash. If you're willing to be obedient, if you're willing to exercise faith, get ready, because your life can change in a moment. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We praise you for your presence and power. Lord, you love us.